Welcome to Fit and Chips Chats. This is a podcast for women over 40 who are looking for sane and frank advice about their health and wellness, especially through menopause. I'm Amanda Thebe, the original resilient bitch and menopause guru. In my work as a personal trainer and nutrition coach, and through my own personal experience, it became obvious to me information about menopause and this curious phase of our life was so ridiculously hard to find. And that's why I started this podcast. Join me every week as I speak to health and wellness experts on hot topics that directly impact you. I've made it my mission to help you by exploding a few myths, presenting you with the facts, and hoping to inspire you to be a healthy, strong person just like me. If you like this show, please subscribe and leave a review. Then go and tell your friends, and then go and tell your husband, and then tell the neighbor, and then don't forget to visit me at fitandchips.com. And now let's get started on today's show. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Fit and Chips Chats with me, your host, Amanda Thebe. This week, I have on the show Kim Schlag, and it sounds like Prague. I think I said it right. Is that okay, Kim?
You did. Yes, that was correct. Good job.
I found Kim on Instagram. So she's an Insta friend, and I found her because we clearly share the same sort of philosophy on fitness and exercise, and Kim's like the Instagraphic queen, and so she puts all of these things out daily, and they're so helpful and so useful. I just started resharing them because I thought, oh, why would I reinvent the wheel when somebody's doing the work for me? So that's how I got introduced to Kim, and I just thought she'd be a great person to have on the show because she's a woman in her 40s, experience in perimenopause, and it's completely transformed her life anyway through this like anti-diet culture, which we love to talk about on the show. So welcome, Kim, and I'm so happy that you're on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I'm thrilled to be here.
And thank you for like making my life easier on Instagram.
You are welcome.
Well, you've actually amassed quite a following, and I think it purely is because of the information that you're putting out there, right? Like, people just like that simplistic, do this, don't do that approach, right?
Yeah. Well, I think I try to be useful. Every day when I post something, I want to actually have people be able to read it and get something that they can actually do from reading that, you know? So that's what I work to do.
That's what you want to do. And so do you ever run out of ideas? Do you ever like post some, like, you know, there's something coming up and go, oh, shit.
You know, sometimes I worry that I'm going to run out of ideas, but I really don't. And I say the same thing a lot over and over and over.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty simple stuff that works. Where people struggle is in the doing of it. And so I just kind of keep talking about the same stuff and giving them the support to do it. You know, the information doesn't change, but sometimes seeing it a certain way will help somebody, you know, or seeing it again for the 10th time will help somebody.
Nothing wrong with repeating, because we know that it takes so long for us to like retain and actually be able to use that information. And that's coming from us ourselves as coaches, right? How often do we coach people, you know, like to make small changes and do them often, but until we've actually done that ourselves and understood that it works, it's very difficult to sort of like stand behind that message. And you're like living proof that it does work, right?
Well, yeah. I'm not talking about things that are just theory to me. Like, I'm talking about my life. This is what I've done. You know, I was extremely overweight and very unhealthy, and I was the classic yo-yo dieter for a very, very long time. This was, you know, 20 years, maybe more than 20 years that I yo-yo dieted.
And you did everything, right? You did every diet that could have existed.
Oh, I kind of did. You know, you name one. I most likely tried it or considered trying it, or, you know, at least read about it and thought, could I do this? You know, Atkins, Metafast, Weight Watchers, you know, I did P90X. I did, you know, whatever it was, Jillian Michaels workout, whatever. I was always looking for the thing.
You said the J word on my podcast.
I know.
Jillian.
Oh gosh, is that a bad word? You know, it was one of those things. I was like, this must be the thing. It wasn't the thing, but I thought maybe it would be. I thought that was going to be the thing that was going to do it for me.
And you know, this is what we see often, isn't it? Like, there's women are in a situation where they're just not happy where they are in life, whether it's the way they look or the way they feel. It usually is to me about the way they feel more than anything, you know, that lack of like confidence and belief in themselves. And then, you know, they're sat talking to someone and they're like spouting the benefits of, say, keto. Keto did this, keto did that, and they become keto. They don't just eat keto. They are keto.
They are keto.
And so therefore, then that person tries it thinking, that's the answer then. That's exactly what was missing from my life. That I have to stop eating carbs and I can only eat fat. And we're just always looking for the solutions and the answers out there that are quick, that are going to see instant change. And we know that that doesn't work. And like you say, you're living proof that it doesn't work. But it's a really hard message to sell because it's not sexy, is it? At all.
It's not telling people like, hey, you probably already know the answer. And the answer is that it just takes time and it takes hard work. And it's doing the same stuff day in and day out. You know, it's eating the right amount of food and getting exercise and doing that over and over and over for a long time. And that's what works. And you're right. That's not super sexy. And people aren't like, yes, I want that.
And it, and it doesn't happen quickly either. Like, it doesn't happen in your 21-day or 7-day fixes, right?
I mean, it does not.
No, I mean, I don't actually hate those completely, those things, if they're intelligently done and they're a way to just, some people need that start. You know, we're not all slow starters. Some people need, they're like, I just need to be really good for a week and then after that I'll be able to carry on. Mm-hmm. So I don't always dismiss them as garbage, but they don't make a difference to your life. They might put you on the right path, but then certainly not the answer. I mean, so when I was reading about your story, Kim, like, you are 43 now, and you we said before the show, you're
I'm 48.
You're 48. Sorry, your journey.
Wow.
Your journey started at 43.
Yeah.
Sorry, I apologize. Yeah. Your journey started at, see, I'm such a great researcher here. No, but your journey started at 43, and you're 48 now, knee deep in perimenopause, like myself, I'm 48 too.
Yeah.
And you, like, have said that you've gone from a size 2 to a size 16 throughout this, like, 20 years of, like, yo-yo dieting. And it really was only when you sort of met somebody who influenced you, right? Like, somebody just said, you're doing it all wrong. And, you know, we sometimes only need to meet that one person, right, that changes our life.
True.
Yeah. So can you just talk about that and, like,
yeah, for sure. So it was kind of a unique experience. We were actually doing a favor for a family friend, and we had this young guy come live with us for just a short period of time. He needed somewhere to be. He was kind of in a bad situation. He was a young guy. He was 21, somewhere around there. Anyway, and it was my job to kind of keep him out of trouble for a few months because I was the one who was at home. My kids were at school. My husband was at work, and I was a stay-at-home mom. And so he was here. And I was trying to figure out what am I going to do with this guy. He worked, but he was around a lot. And I found out he liked to go to the gym. And I, you know, it was January when he moved in with us. And so of course, as a yo-yo dieter, we all know what I was doing in January. I was hopping back on the wagon. So I was like, all right, you know, I'll take him to the gym. And so I did. And he would go and work out with weights. And I would mostly do, like, you know, the arc trainer and the elliptical and then a little bit of shoulders and biceps or something at the end. And one day he said to me, so, like, what are you trying to do? And I was kind of annoyed. You know, I was like, well, you know, I'm really trying to not be fat. I'm overweight and I don't want to be overweight. And that's what he said. He said, well, you're doing it all wrong. And, you know, it wasn't the most,
He's 21. Yeah. They don't care. They don't care about your feelings or the soft approach. No, that's wrong.
Yeah, that's wrong. And I was like, okay, well, and you know, quite frankly, I was fed up. And so I was willing to listen to what he had to say anyway. And he's like, you should come and lift with me. And so I did. And I was very, very nervous about that. Like, he lifted up where all the big heavy weights were. But I did. So I went up with him and I started lifting with him 5 days a week. And he taught me all about weightlifting. And I started to really love it. And at the same time, because he was living with us, he said to me, he's like, you know, you should eat some real food. And I was like, what are you talking about? I eat. And he's like, I see what you do. He's like, you take these little itty bitty portions at mealtime. And he's like, and I, you know, because I thought I need to lose weight. I'm eating too much. He's like, but then at night, like you're in the pantry just eating. Yeah. And he was spot on because I did. I would kind of like eat these little teeny tiny portions and try and avoid most carbs. But, you know, I just, it wasn't working because, and so he's like, you need to eat some meat and you need to eat vegetables. And I didn't really like vegetables. And he told me he didn't care. I was like, okay. He's like, that's what you need to do. And so I started teaching myself to like vegetables. So I didn't like, the only vegetables I ate until I was in my early 40s were spinach and corn. And I ate them almost never.
I love the way you've made corn a vegetable. just so that you didn't just like spinach.
Well, okay, so I just liked spinach. So, you know, and I made myself learn to like vegetables. I took it a little bit at a time and I allowed myself to just like spinach at first. I made myself eat spinach every day. And then I started like little by little learning to tolerate other vegetables and eventually like them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, in my 40s. So I started eating real food, which then meant that I wasn't necessarily starving at night and raiding the pantry at all hours, you know? And the weight training was a huge piece of it.
It is. And I mean, we both know that that good nutrition with a solid weight training program is so amazing for women in their 40s moving into sort of like the second transition of our lives. It's so important. But like a 21-year-old telling you this is mind-blowing. I love it. I love it. But
I know.
He even recognized in your like behavior the typical habits that we see of women in their 40s. And I'm not trying to like judge here and like make women feel guilty, but the knee-jerk reaction for women when they want to lose weight is move more, eat and eat less. It's just what they do. And move more means the 45 minutes as a cardio bunny, mm-hmm. and then eating these teeny tiny meals and starving themselves within an inch of their lives. And the body just goes, what the heck are you doing? Like, this is not good for me. And so I love that this 21-year-old kid recognized that, right? And knew that what he was doing was wrong. And so you started seeing big changes, right?
Huge changes. Yeah, I completely transformed my body. So I had lost weight a lot of times. And I'd lost more pounds than I ended up losing in this period of time. He was with us for like 4 months. But I had never actually seen my body change. Like I didn't just look a little bit tinier. I looked completely different. Like I looked, because I built muscle for the first time in my life.
Right. Yeah.
So I looked completely different.
And then you did the whole flips. You went from a size, clothing size 12 to a size 2, right?
Yeah, I was a size 2. I think when I started it, I was pushing a size 16 when I started with him. And then I was a size 2. And then from then, I worked really hard to just keep building muscle. And I fell so in love with weight training. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it wasn't only just about building muscle. It was just because I really liked seeing myself get strong.
Oh, it's such an amazing feeling. And, you know, the people who I've coached that don't usually do it and then have started, I have one client, I won't say her name, but she listens to this and she's discovered deadlifting and she's saying it's changed her life. Like she'll text me and she'll say, I'm badass and I'm like a warrior. And she never knew it could feel like that. She was a typical runner prior to that. And it's been transforming for her because of how it makes her feel. And I always come back to that, how things make you feel like inside. It's so important. And if I could get every woman to feel like that would be a dream come true. Because
that's a big part of my goal. Like that's kind of what I'm all about. A piece of what I'm about is sane weight loss, because that was such a huge deal for me. But the other thing is the idea of strength and what it can do, how it can make you feel. Because as I got stronger in the gym, I got stronger in all areas of my life. I was confident in a way that I never had been. And I was able to fix relationships because I didn't let people treat me poorly anymore. Because I did hard things all the time in the gym. And I started being able to do hard things outside of the gym. And it was directly related. It was 100% related.
It is. It completely is. And I don't know whether there's been any sort of like science or research done on that. But it just is. And I'm like, so yeah, and we just have to keep talking about it. So anyway, so from then on, you felt inspired to then make this passion that you just found into your job, right? Which I love. You got this calling.
And I do feel like it. I feel like it is. I'm just so passionate about it. I love to talk about it. I get super excited when my clients, you know, do their first push-up, or when they get excited about how strong they're getting. It makes me super happy. And so it is my job, but I just love it.
And so you're now a personal trainer and a precision nutrition certified coach, right? Because it's the same as me. That's why I like the information to put out there, because it completely aligns with, you know, how I coach, how I live my life, and how, you know, and how the science teaches it that it works, right? So you were inspired to go on and do like some further education as well, which I completely love.
Yes. So I got certified to be a trainer. I got certified through precision nutrition. I started coaching people. I have a gym in my home, and I started taking in-person clients, and most of my business is online now. I still have a few clients in my home, but mostly I take clients. I have clients all over the U.S. and work with them on nutrition and strength.
And so what is the most common thing that you see, or the most, like, not, I don't want to say mistake, but like the misconception or myth that you see, you know, like when you bring people on, is it that they think they're eating fine and they don't understand it? Because that's what I hear a lot. Like, I'm doing everything right. It makes no sense. It usually does make sense, but you're just not looking in the right place. Or do you think, I mean, one of the big things I see moving to North America, I mean, I've been in this continent for nearly 19 years, nearly 20 years, but actually living in America rather than Canada, portion sizes blow my mind. They blow my mind. Yeah. Like a family of four could eat off what I consider to be like a large portion. When someone eats in a restaurant, it blows my mind. And so like I see some simple things that people can do without like overthinking things. But what things do you see?
Yeah, so let me tell you two of the biggest things I see. One is that people have no idea how many calories are in the food that they eat. They just don't know. And when people start to see how many calories they're eating, it all becomes very clear, because they do have the sense of, I've tried everything and I'm frustrated because I don't know why it's not working. I'm eating clean, I'm eating healthy, but I'm still not losing weight. And what it is they're just eating too much food. And so as they become aware of correct portion sizes, whether they're directly counting calories or whether we're using a different method to help them get their calories in control, it always comes down to they're eating more food than they think they are. And as that becomes clear to them, they start to be able to lose weight because they can manage it. So that's one huge piece of it. The other piece of it is, even as people are starting to lose weight, people are under the misconception that progress, one, is one thing, that it's the weight on the scale, and two, that it should be moving at a certain rate, which is usually way faster than it's actually moving. And so they get demotivated really, really fast because they don't see progress. They don't think they're seeing progress until somebody points it out to them. This happens, actually just happened this morning. I have a client who's been with me a month, and she sent me her measurements, like her circumference measurements, and she didn't say anything about them. And I compared them to the first month. She lost 13 3/4 inches, and she didn't say anything. She wasn't like, hey, look at this. So I messaged her back and I'm like, hey, did you compare those? And she's like, no, I don't think there was much of a difference. So I sent her the paper, and she was shocked. She had no idea that she lost 13 3/4 inches. That's amazing progress. The scale hasn't moved much. And so in her mind, she hadn't made much progress. And so what happens then is people give up because they're like, this isn't working. So I need to find something else. And so then they move on to the next thing, or they just give up totally. Mm-hmm. And so finding a way to see your progress, knowing it's not just the scale, and being patient and waiting. And when I say waiting, I mean continuing to work, not just sitting around, continuing to work, knowing that it's going to take longer than maybe you think it is.
And not kicking yourself up about when you... like something goes slightly wrong. I mean, we're talking in December. This actually will go out in January, but like this is typically an indulgent month for people, like food and alcohol and like too many treats. And, you know, we get invited to lots of events and you don't want to be the stick in the mud that doesn't enjoy themselves, right? No, nobody wants deprivation. It doesn't work for anyone. Mm-hmm. But you see, this is a typical time of year for people to just say, ah, sod it. I won't bother. I won't bother at all because let's face it, I'm not going to be able to stick to what I'm doing. So I might as well just give up this month. And I see that happening like all the time, you know, like one little slip up, and it's so hard to not judge yourself for being human, because that's basically all you do.
Yeah. I think those are two really common things that keep people stuck. All or nothing. Like, I'm either really going to be on track 100% or I'm not doing it at all, where they don't look at the whole range of possibilities in there. So it's December, so you're going to go to a few parties. Okay, well, so have a great breakfast, you know, still go to the gym. Or if you can't work out four times that week, do it once. It still counts, you know? And so the idea of people being so black or white with their thinking, like I'm all in or I'm all out, just doesn't serve people well. And so learning to be okay with that gray area and knowing you can still make progress if you're not perfect. And then the other thing is what you said, you know, not beating yourself up when you do maybe go off track, when you do go a little bit off your plan, knowing that like not the end of the world, and you can literally just get right back on and it's going to be fine.
And you also don't lose any of the gains that you've made. Like, it's not like it all goes back to square one. Like, you've built the way that we both coach is that you're building up these consistent habits, like these behaviors that don't just disappear just because you've decided one day to let rape. Who cares? Like, it's fine. They're still there. And all you just need to do is just refocus back on the big picture and know that, you know, it's really normal for these things to happen. And it's just, to me, this anti-diet culture is so important, because I've seen so many detrimental things happen to women, and they're messing up their metabolisms and their hormones. And it's actually relating to, you know, the people that listen to this podcast. I clearly am trying to inspire women more than anything else, mm-hmm. and women especially through perimenopause and menopause, mm-hmm. when we typically see things a little bit out of control. And I think that what I often recognize in women is that they see their body sort of like not acting the way it previously did. And so they feel that that's something that they've done to like make it go out of control. So I see them like starting to like be more restrictive with their diet and more extreme with their exercise. And it's actually the exact opposite your body needs right now. It's such a fine balance to find. But I think you've experienced this personally as well, right?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And you know, when we go to that place of super restriction, what we often don't realize is that we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot, because when we're trying to be super restrictive, we're making it really hard to stick to. And sticking to something is what's going to actually get you results. And so the idea of like, maybe you should eat more calories, it's not magic. It's not like, wow, I'm going to eat more food and still lose weight. It's you're going to eat more food, which is going to allow you to stick to it, which means then you're going to lose the weight. So it's really important to not just always be in this, I have to over restrict mentality.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, we know that it can be so destructive for women, especially right now. And so, I mean, what do you think about, in general, like just society's like image of women now? I mean, this is sort of like outside of the conversation we just had, but you know, like we're both approaching 50. We've got a couple of years before we get there. I'm perfectly fine with it. Like I've worked really hard on my mindset and honoring my body and feeling good about where I am in life. But I think I'm in the minority. It's only because I've just put the work in and done lots of work to get there. I find that women are so down on themselves and can be really harsh with their opinion of themselves purely because, you know, of where they are in their life. And I just get very frustrated when I sort of see this, because I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't even know where I'm going with this. It's just like just an observation.
Totally get what you're saying. So it's interesting. A lot of women, when they come to me, and I have my first phone consult with women, a lot of times what they tell me is that they are approaching 50 or 55 or 60 or wherever they're coming, and they don't want to feel the way they do now when they get there. They want to be They want to feel better about themselves. They want to feel more confident. They want to look better, you know, and all of that stuff. And so I don't think it's necessarily about the number. I think it's about how they feel and how they're moving and how they're looking. And so quite frankly, I look and feel better now at almost 50 than I did in my 20s. I do. And so it has nothing to do with your age, but people think it does. You know, they just think it's, you know, it's my age. But if they can get themselves to place, and this again for me is where strength training plays a really huge part. You know, if you nourish your body and you strengthen your body, you're going to feel great. And it literally doesn't matter what that number says. It just doesn't matter.
And I think that it's really important to sort of like reemphasize that as well, because like in menopause, there's going to be some days where you feel like it's all gone pear-shaped and you don't know why. And chances are you don't need to know why. It is just a hormonal fluctuation, and you might have one or two days where you just feel dire. But it's not there forever. And so just keep doing the stuff, even if you feel like it's not working, because it actually is. You know, the consistency with nutrition, the consistency with the movement, the consistency with the stress management and the mindset. You know, like keep doing them even on the days when you just don't want to do anything. Be in tune with that, because it's actually like we know, like we've like science tells us that actually makes the journey so much easier for us through menopause. Mm-hmm. If you are simply by reducing your weight by 10 to 15%, you can basically eliminate most of menopause symptoms. Like that's what we know now. Like, so if you in the higher weight bracket or like towards obesity and you're really, really struggling, by focusing on your nutrition and starting to get some movement in your life, you're going to have some massive impactful changes. And it doesn't have to be a difficult thing to do. It can be very, very small things like starting to drink more water or just going for a daily walk. It doesn't have to be this crazy new journey you're doing. It can be like you did it small, didn't you?
I just started working out. That's how I started. I started working out at the gym, and then I started eating meat and I started eating vegetables and I started watching my portion sizes, and it was just a little bit of over time. And, you know, I continue to make those kinds of tweaks to my nutrition and to my training. You know, I think it's really important for women who are perimenopausal or in menopause to be aware that they can still lose weight, because I get asked all the time. You know, how do I lose weight now? At this age, can I still lose weight? I don't think I can lose weight. I can't lose weight. And what I want people to know is it's absolutely the same stuff. It's about calories in, calories out. Now, maybe your calories out has changed a bit, and what you can do is adjust the calories in and the calories out. So, you know, move more, get more muscle on your body. From age 30 on, we begin to lose muscle mass. You know, we do. We tend to also be more sedentary. We're sitting at desks. You know, we're just sitting around. And so move more. And I don't mean cardio sessions. I mean, you know, get up and move throughout the day more. I'm a big proponent of wearing step tracker and, you know, just trying to get your steps up wherever you are now. Just start. So if you get a tracker and you see that you only move 3,000 steps a day, try and increase it over several weeks till you're at 4,000 and 5,000, and keep going until you get up to 10,000.
I was going to say, just because that non-exercise activity is huge. It's huge. And the other thing I was going to say is like, so a lot of menopausing was so hard. Women will come and say, you know, I've tried everything, and as far as I can't lose weight, it's just not happening. And the absolute basics do work. They will always work. There's no doubt about it. Now, what mm-hmm. might happen during menopause is you might have some nuances that you need to look at. For example, you might have more, you know, bloating or gut irritation, and that can usually be sort of like worked out by like eliminating a couple of foods or just looking at your diet and seeing which things like trigger you. You know, mm-hmm. it's not normally rocket science to work that out. In addition to that, like the body does process things a little bit differently. Like we are a little bit more carb sensitive, and we do struggle to process our proteins as well as we did. But all that means is just choose your carbs wisely and just eat more protein. It really, there's nuances out there, but it always ends up coming back to the nutritional basics. And so that's what I'm all about, is like just saying the same thing over and over again. And I'm so glad that you can do that in picture form for me. I really encourage anyone listening to this to just go over and check out what Kim's doing, because like I say, it's one of those things that is just so simple, and just look at them and review what you're doing and just go, oh, I'm not doing that. I've realized I'm not quite doing that. If you actually want to find Kim on Instagram, it's Kim Schlag Fitness. And so that's spelled K-I-M and then S-C-H-L-A-G. Is that right?
Correct. Yes. That's the best place to find me, is Kim Schlag Fitness on Instagram. I also have a podcast that I do. Amanda, I need to have you come on as a guest.
I
just started it in May, but I really got consistent with it at the end of the summer. So it's still fairly new. I've had some really great guests on there. It's called the Fitness Simplified Podcast.
So what I'll do is, in the description of the podcast, is I'll put links to this so you guys can go and check him out. And I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show. Like, that was very, like, it's just so nice to meet someone who's like-minded and also just trying to get women to be the best they can. And with some simple changes, knowing that they really, really do work, just keep doing them. Just don't stop.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much
for having me here, Amanda.
Thanks. Thanks very much, Kim. And thank you all for listening. And don't forget to tune in next week. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the show. For more information on my services, head over to my website at fitandchips.com. That's like fish and chips, fitandchips.com. Or you can head over to my Fit and Chips Facebook page too. If you leave me a comment or if you contact me, I promise I'll do my best to respond to all of your questions. The views and advice expressed by myself in this show are not a substitute for conventional medical service. No information here should be interpreted as a medical diagnosis, treatment, or prevention of any disease. If in any doubt, always go straight to your doctor. Take care. Love you. Bye.